Good morning. My name is Sharon Beard, and I'm with the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. Just want to make sure you're in the right session, session 3161, Creating Healthy Communities Through Hazardous Waste Worker Training Programs. I'm going to be a moderator and speaker today, so I'm going to go and start off with the bios of our presenters. We're going to first, I'm going to share a little bit of information about the NIEHS Worker Training Program, about some of our opportunities for building community resilience through environmental justice training. And I've been with NIEHS for over 15 years now as an industrial hygienist with the Worker Education and Training Program, and helped start the Minority Worker Training Program back in 1995. After I do my introduction, whoops, it must have gone its own. We'll hear from Montgomery Prophet. He is the pre-employment education and training department program person from OAI Inc. out of Chicago, Illinois. Montgomery is currently the manager for the OAI Chicago program, where he is responsible for community outreach, recruitment, and selection, program planning, and implementation of their program there. He works with all of the senior technical trainers and academic skills people to assign and do tasks for the program. He handles the everyday operations and evaluation of the program. Montgomery comes to OAI from the Family Employment Counselor Program at Abraham Lincoln Center. I think was the last thing before he came to work for OAI. And he currently holds a BA in Law Enforcement and Justice Administration from Western Illinois University. And then after Montgomery shares a little bit about the Minority Worker Training Program at OAI, we'll hear from Joy Lee from the National Clearinghouse for Worker Health and Safety Training. Joy serves as the Public Health Specialist from MDB and has been working with the Clearinghouse since 2008. In this capacity, she conducts various research reports and projects on worker safety and health and environmental justice. Joy has a BA in political science from Duke University, a MA in international studies from Old Dominion University, and a graduate certificate from the Public Health and Emergency Management Program at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. And then what we'll do is open it up for questions after the end of the presentation. So I'll move forward. I'm on. Now I have to put a timer for myself because then I'll know I'll go over. All right. One of the things I want to share with you today is one of the programs that we administer at NIEHS, the Minority Worker Training Program, but primarily the whole issue of building community resilience through our environmental justice and hazardous waste health and safety training programs. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Just start off with who NIEHS, and I think most of the folks here know who we are, so I won't spend a lot of time there talking about some of the things that we do. But our mission at NIEHS is to reduce the burden of human illness and disability by understanding how the environment influences the development and progression of human disease. I think what is important is that at NIEHS, there's a broad spectrum of activities that we're involved in. We're a premier environmental health biomedical research institute for the government, but we also have a prevention arm, which is where we have the worker education and training program. And we're very active in the development of training programs to protect workers engaged in hazardous waste. And this is kind of just a summary slide that gives you a little information about our program. We started back in 1987. As the Superfund Reauthorization Act started this program to train workers who are engaged in hazardous waste remediation. Each year we provide about $36 million annually to organizations to develop model health and safety training programs. And these programs, we've provided funding to 20 nonprofit organizations at over 100 university, labor-based, and safety programs and institutions to develop these programs to deal with hazardous waste removal and containment and chemical emergency response. Through our grantees, we've trained over 3 million workers in every U.S. state and province, and they've responded to all kinds of hazards disasters, both national and local, in all the U.S. provinces. And I think one of the other things that I wanted to also mention is that we have been a part of the Partnerships for Environmental Public Health Program at NIEHS, which is a consolidation of all of the environmental health outreach and education training programs within the Division of Extramural Research and Training. And we have helped to promote that program and initiatives by doing the work that we do in environmental health sciences. We have several programs, but the ones that I'm just going to mention a little bit of right now is our primary programs, the Hazardous Waste Program, the Minority Worker Training, and the Hazmat Disaster. And with all of these programs, training is peer-led, hands-on focused, and confirms NIEHS minimum criteria for health and safety training, where we focus on developing quality health and safety training material to make sure that we meet the needs of the training population. So if it's those workers who are involved in cleaning up brownfield sites or Superfund sites, we work with our grantees to develop curricula, tools, and resources for those individuals. Under our Minority Worker Training Program, we focus on dealing with underprivileged individuals, looking at occupational health disparities as an issue, and trying to make those programs available for these individuals and communities. And then our Hazmat Disaster Program, which is really focuses on creating materials and working with emergency responders who respond to disasters in high-risk occupational settings. And one of the things I wanted to share is that this is a model program that we've developed since we started. And one of the reasons why we consider it a model program is that we use a multifaceted approach to develop tools and resources for the worker health and safety community. We have technical workshops each year that address different topics, such as chemical emergency response, dealing with environmental justice, focusing on disaster response, oil spill. We develop, of course, our minimum criteria for training. We focus on real-life training scenarios, formalized curricula, and we work with different federal agencies in our capacity to make sure that we provide resources to the communities that need when there's a disaster and issue coming up. And we also have 25 years of experience doing health and safety training across the U.S. Now I want to get into some of the work that we've done with the Minority Worker Training Program. And these approaches to build community and economic development has really been very interesting since we started the program. Remember back in, I think it was Cuyahoga County in Cleveland, Ohio, where we brought together a group of individuals to say, if we're going to do this program in the community, how can we make this happen? So we brought together environmental justice advocates, labor-based apprenticeship programs, community-based organizations to look at how can we do this in a holistic approach to meet the needs of the community. And from that, we were able to really develop, I think, a very holistic approach to doing training. For the Minority Worker Training Program, the primary focus is to increase the number of underrepresented and disadvantaged individuals in the environmental remediation and hazardous waste fields. And we do that through a number of different mechanisms. We address the occupational health disparities of minority and low-income workers. As you know, most minority workers have a lot of different things that face them on a daily basis. Those dealing with the issue of a lot of them lack formal education and training in these fields. They're often placed in some of the dirtiest jobs. And they also have lack of access to health care. A lot of different things that really we want to focus on. How do we address those issues, but also give them the skills to be able to do the job safely. In these programs, they do teach life skills, remedial education, training, and then also instruction and focus on career approach to apprenticeship programs. I think one of the biggest things that's unique about our program is that we really focus on developing national, strong and effective consortia across all of our programs. We only have 5 grantees on the Minority Worker Training Program, but it represents over, I think, 30 different organizations and 15 communities working together along with NIEHS to address the problems and issues in the community. And they've been able to do this by reaching out to communities and assessing the need of those communities and developing programs that are site-specific to the needs of the community. And so these are some of the programs that we work with across the U.S. under this under the Minority Worker Training Program. Since we started this program back in 1995, we've actually trained over 8,800 workers. And this program, the Minority Worker Training Program, was our beginning program. Then we developed the Brownfields Program in 1998, which was to increase the number of facilities that we actually do health and safety training at, and also to work in collaboration with EPA to address brownfield sites. So between this one and the Brownfields Program, 8,800 individuals have trained, and we have a placement rate of around 68%. And it's really important for us to look at, for example, this for 2011, for the Minority Worker Training Program, we trained 396 workers on the program, and we were able to place 291. That's 73%. So when you think about what's going on with the economy right now, to be able to place 291 of these individuals in jobs right now is phenomenal. And you really, it's because of the strong consortium and those community-based organizations working together with labor and everyone and employers to meet the needs and develop programs that are site-specific. We had Cosetta Bond was supposed to speak a little bit about the program at the Center for Construction Research and Training, but she's not able to be here, so I said I would cover a little bit of information about their program and what they're involved with. So I wanted to make sure I did that. The Center for Construction Research and Training is a research, development, and training arm of the Building and Construction Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. They have approximately 15 affiliated unions that make up this program. Pete Stafford is the executive director, and Cosetta Vaughn is the director and consultant for the Minority Worker Training Program. And what I think is unique about this particular program is that they have worked in about 20 different communities across the United States since the beginning of their training program. They first took the initiative after the program was started back in 1995 with the United Brotherhood of the Carpenters, and they took it over, and they have been doing the Minority Worker Training Program ever since. And the biggest thing about them is their program longevity. Since 1999, they've trained over 1,900 residents in 11 urban cities for their training program since 1999, and over almost a million contact hours, and they've been able to actually graduate a large number of those individuals, 1,800, and 75% of them were able to obtain jobs working in environmental remediating construction. And one of the main reasons they were able to do that is their strong collaborations in the community and the diversity of those partnerships. For example, in East Palo Alto, California, they have a program with Job Train, which is a community-based organization that focuses on working with the local East Palo Alto community. And they have a variety of job training programs. But one of them is called Project Build, which focuses on putting folks to work in construction and environmental industry. And they have a strong relationship with the Building and Construction Trades Council there in East Palo Alto in the San Francisco area. So because of those partnerships and working along with employers, they have had a phenomenal success with their training program. Over 80% of the graduates of that program go on to get gainful employment in various different programs and initiatives across the California area. Some other training programs they have is in New Orleans, and they actually have that one through the Central South Carpenters Program, which is a union apprenticeship trust fund program, and it works in collaboration with several community-based organizations in the New Orleans area. St. Paul is another collaborative program, which is a community-based program that really focuses on social services program in St. Paul, Minnesota, but they also have a strong relationship with the St. Paul Building Trades Department, where they actually have been able to place individuals in jobs in every last one of the building and construction trades department in Minnesota. And so everyone from even the sprinklers union to IBWE to all the different unions, they've been able to do that because of their strong collaboration that they have. One of the things I think is unique about this program is that these individuals, it might have been the first time that they've ever received some type of certificate or graduation. Most of them, when they come into the program, don't even have a GED, so through the program they obtain GEDs. They're able to actually be able to get environmental certificates for a variety of different types of programs, from combined space to HAZWOMPR. And so it's really a family affair, and this is one of the graduations from the UMDNJ, the Carpenters Program. And what is significant for this one is that all of these individuals were able to get jobs. So out of the 25 students that they actually graduated from the program, all of them who completed it, I think it was 22 of them that completed the program, all of them are currently employed. And so this is the group, they have a lot to be happy about. One of the other things that I think is unique about this program is the fact that we're able to leverage and make connections that work. As a result of doing this program, our grantees have gotten funding from hundreds of different organizations, and I just listed a couple of those. Everything from OAI just recently, I think 2 years ago, got a $900,000 grant from Walmart to do more labor-based training in the area of Chicago and some other areas. Everybody from the Robin Hood Foundation out of New York area. Prudential, they've received additional supplements from NIEHS and from EPA to do that. And so they were able to use this model across the government complex and then also private sector to get additional funding to do additional training. So what we're doing is that I think we're helping to increase sustainability because they're able to use this to go out and get different funding from different organizations across the U.S. And I think this line is very important, is that I've covered the diversity and collaborative partnerships. They also have strong mentoring and career counseling approaches. The life skills training is absolutely essential to make sure that these individuals have those skills to be able to be job ready. The educational enhancement is everything from blueprint reading all the way up to being able to get the lead RRP training that's essential for them to go in and do residential weatherization work. And then, of course, those strong collaborations and then job placement activities. We don't just work with these individuals for, our grantees just don't work with them for, you know, a couple of weeks after they graduate from the program. They can come back once they place them in jobs and they need another job, they can come back from year to year to year. But these programs have been in existence for a while, so they've been able to provide that assistance. And then they also track those students. They have to track them for up to a year. Some of our programs have tracking data since they started because a lot of the individuals come back. And they're a strong, really face in the community of the work that those community-based organizations have done. And then, of course, the leveraging, I shared about that. One of the success stories that I wanted to share with you was at OAI. They had an individual, Lorenzo Dunn, who back in 2008 came into the program. He was incarcerated. He had all different types of drug offenses, and he just decided that he had to do something with his life. And so he joined the program back in August of 2008, and he was a phenomenal student. Because he applied himself, he decided he wanted to make a change. And so he was hired as a weatherization laborer. And within a couple of years, he's now a co-owner of GPP and Sun Energy Services, where they provide weatherization services throughout Cook County. So this is a good example of how we've been able to work with individuals, give them the skill sets to be able to go out, create their own businesses, and actually give them back to their communities. Wanted to end with some materials and resources that are available through our National Clearinghouse. Joy Lee is here, Deborah Weinstock, who is the director, is here, and Tim Fields. So throughout the Clearinghouse, we develop in collaboration with other federal agencies and our grantees all different types of training resources, from responding to wildfires to developing training programs to discuss the risks of nanotechnology, then also in the green economy. And all this material is available free of charge to the public on the Clearinghouse website, and we have some material back in the back so you can get access to it. We also have a large number of curricula in different languages, from Vietnamese to Japanese to Spanish, and so that material is available along with fact sheets and other resources for you to use in your training programs. Lastly, I wanted to share with you a little bit about the environmental justice strategy for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. As you know, each one of the federal agencies was tasked to reinvigorate their environmental justice strategy. And as a part of the interagency working group, HHS developed a draft strategy over the last year. Myself, Chip Hughes, and several other individuals within HHS were on the planning team, Lim O'Fallon at NIEHS, along with Sherry Barron at NIOSH, really worked to really focus on some of the training and health and safety issues that come up. And so we do have a public education and training component for this environmental justice strategy. And I think one of the biggest things now is that we're really looking to get input from the public. So if you could please take a look at it, the website address is there. Public comment period is going to be for 60 days, and so you have up until December 3rd to look at this. And I think it's important because we want to make sure that we've addressed all of the, your needs or issues as best as we can. So we want to get your feedback on what we might be able to do in your local communities to enhance environmental justice efforts. And so from everything from research to policy, from sustainability issues, all of those are a part of the HHS Environmental Justice Plan. And of course, all the other federal agencies are doing the same thing. I was just looking last night at the Department of Labor. Their Environmental Justice Plan is out too. So it's very interesting in some of the parallel activities that we're involved in. And here's just a couple of the reports that I shared and some of the links that are available. And we can make this material available to everybody, but I wanted to make sure that you had these resources. And here's my contact information. So thank you for letting me share a little bit about the program. Now I'll turn it over to Montgomery so he can actually share a little bit about the specific program that he has at OAI. Thank you.